Hey, welcome to the CF Podcast. This is Derek. Glad you're joining us today. We are in a series where we're looking at Isaiah 55 and how God says His ways are higher, His thoughts are higher. And today we're digging into the impact of how we view ourselves and how that actually can be the lid or the ceiling that keeps us from experiencing all that God has for us and wants for us. So man, I want you to tune in, and we're going to be really not only seeing that, but we're going to be talking about what do we do? How do we grow in how we see ourselves more like God? So grab your Bible, grab your notes. Let's dig in. The scriptures tell us that this is love, that someone would lay down their life for another. I think it's beautiful that we're singing this song where it's really a love song of God willingly taking our place, dying on the cross. And so I just want to give you a second before we transition into the teaching today, just to think about the beauty of how God loved us first. He loved you first. Before you ever loved Him, before you ever did anything, He loved you, and he made His love clear as He laid His life down, willingly. Shame so that we wouldn't have to walk in shame. Took our guilt so that we could be innocent. Robbed our fear of death, our fear of separation, and made us one with God through the cross. What a beautiful picture of love. It doesn't get any better. Take a moment. Why don't you just thank the Lord for the truth that we just sang, that He took everything, took it all on Himself so that we could have everything, and He is everything. That no longer are we defined by our past, our mess ups, our mistakes. We're defined by the one who gave His life up to show us what love is like, who we're really called to be. So Lord, in the sense, I love that we crown You. What we're saying is, Lord, You are King. You're worthy to be the lead of our life, to be the Lord of our life. And as a community, we just thank You that You are the head of Your church, Your bride. And it's our joy to come under Your authority, because we know that You're a good, benevolent King who, as Kim said, works all things for our good, even the evil that the enemy means to rob us and to kill us and destroy us. You actually are in the midst of that, and You are working to turn that for our good. You are worthy, King Jesus. You are worthy, and we crown You today. Thank You, Lord, for this revelation of Your goodness and Your love. We ask, Holy Spirit, that You continue to minister as we open up the scriptures that You inspired. Lead us into truth today and set us free at a deep, deep level. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Go ahead and find a seat. Man, it is good to be with you guys this morning. For those joining us online, welcome. Those guests in the house, welcome. Two prayers that we pray over you is, number one, that you would feel and experience love today. And number two is that you'd recognize that the living God is near and He's not far off. That He's a near God, He's a very present God, He's in our midst. And so when we gather together on a Sunday, our goal is to recognize Him and to honor Him first and foremost. And so that's our desire, and we're learning how to do that as a community. But we are in a series that's entitled Higher, and kind of each week we're kind of just raising the bar and really challenging ourselves to think like God thinks, to do things like God does. And it's rooted in Isaiah 55. I started a few weeks ago, Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. Real simply, God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah, and He says, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways higher than your ways. And what we know is God is not just saying that to say, ha ha ha, look at me, I'm better than you. He's saying that because He says, I want you to walk in my ways. I want you to have my thoughts. I want there to be a reality that there's heaven on earth. That's what He wants. That reality of walking in unison with God, that's what he desires for us. And so we've been looking at the scriptures and saying, God, what do you say about this? God, what are your thoughts towards this thing? What are your ways? And last week we talked about how our view of God shapes our desire or even our propensity to come to God to hear his thoughts and hear his ways. And I shared this A.W. Tozer quote here, this line here. It says, what comes to our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And hopefully this week you processed that a little bit. You thought about that. What comes to mind when I think about God? And then we should say, is that true? Is that actually truth? And so last week we talked about, man, let's have this restored view of God, this restored view of God that we see in the scriptures in Isaiah 51, where he says, come to me, return to me, and I will have compassion on you. I will forgive your sins. Or Jesus says, come to me. Are you tired? You're burned out? You're worried? Come to me. Come to me and learn my ways. This is what Jesus is saying. And so last week we talked all about our view of God and how we have to have a right view of God if we're gonna run to him, if we're gonna turn an ear towards him and listen. And as I was studying this week, this is the thought that came to mind, paralleling off of A.W. Tozer. This is the thought that came to mind for me this week. If you could put the next slide up here. What you believe first comes to God's mind when he thinks about you is of utmost importance. So of course, what we think about God is extremely, extremely important. Oh my goodness, as A.W. Tozer says, it's probably the most important thing about us, how we think of God, how we view God. But I think right behind that is our belief of what does God think about you? What are God's thoughts towards you? And so this week, I would have you chew on that. What do you believe that God thinks about you? And then we hold that up to the scriptures and say, is that true? Is what you think that God thinks about you? Is that true? And so what is the initial thought that God has of you? Well, you know, thankfully the scriptures, man, there's a lot of revelation about what God thinks about humanity. And thankfully, there's a guy named King David, and he had a revelation that I think many people today don't have. He had a revelation of what God thought about him. And if you're taking the Hearing God class, I think we got 60 people in this one right now. You already have been steeped in this. You've been going through this last, I think, Tuesday when you gathered. But Psalm 139, I think, gives us a clarity of how we even come to the question, what does God think about us, all right? Psalm 139, if you have your Bible, you can turn there. Just gonna read a few verses here, starting in verse 13. I love this passage, go to it often. This is David speaking to God. He says, for you formed me in my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Turn to the person to your right and say, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Tell the person on your left, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And if your spouse, say, yes, you are wonderfully made, baby. All right? So he says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And I love it. He goes on. He says, my soul knows it very well. He says, wonderful are your works. And what's interesting, he says, wonderful are your works. And what are the works? He said, the way that he created me. That's what David's saying. Wow. You knit me together and I'm wonderfully made and you are wonderful for your works. And so he's saying, man, I praise you because of how you made me. Isn't that interesting? Man, somebody needs a revelation of this today now. He said, my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you. Never has your frame been hidden from him. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance. Man, talk about knowing you. Before you ever took breath, God's eyes were upon you. He saw you. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. So before you even had a day, God's eyes were upon you. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. Wow. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I could count them, they would be more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. David had a revelation of how God saw him. He had a revelation that God knew him. He understood him. He understood his greatness and his weakness. He understood his wins and his losses, his victory, his defeats, his concerns, his anxiety, his depressive times. He knew it all. And David could still say, God, I know that you made me. And your thoughts toward me are like the sand. Can you imagine that? Like, just think about like just holding some sand, just a little bit of sand in your hand and letting it fall. Like, how many hundreds of thousands of pieces of grains of sand are just in your hand? And imagine that all over the world. And what most people say, I think it's like 5 sextillion grains of sand. Now that, I can't even imagine what that is. That's just a lot of zeros. Can we just say amen to that? It's a lot of zeros, grains of sand. And David is saying, your thoughts to me, Lord, are like that. And here's the problem. Most of us can't even say one. Most of us have a lot of thoughts about ourselves, but we would be hard pressed today and say, what is one thought that God has for you that's good? Or if we did a survey and said, man, what's the first thing that comes to God's mind about you? Man, I would be very interested to say what most of us would say in the room today. We need a revelation of what God really thinks about us and says about us. And here's why. It's because what you believe about yourself becomes the lid on your life and your faith. What you believe about yourself, your self-view, how you see yourself, it is the lid, as John Maxwell said. You probably read that book a long time ago, 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. Somebody laughed at that. Yep, it's an old book. It's a good book, right? And one of his laws is the law of the lid, that you can sometimes be the lid of your organization. This applies to life too. The way you see yourself becomes the lid on your life, but also your faith. How you see yourself. I love the sign. There was this big sign in my middle school. As you walk down a hallway in the eighth grade wing, there was a sign on the wall that said, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. And we know that. And what I love about science right now, it's catching up more and more to what the revelation of God right here in the scripture. Science is more and more saying like, man, the way you see yourself, the way you think about yourself, it actually impacts your success in the world. It can actually be a hindrance. It can be a limiting factor in how your marriage is, how you are as a parent, how you are as an employee or an employer or a business owner or a teacher. The way we see ourselves matters in our life. But it doesn't just matter in our life, it matters greatly in our faith. Man, how many of you want your faith to continue to ascend and grow? Anybody besides me? Like, anybody just said, yes, Lord, I want all you can have. Anybody else can say amen to that, right? We should get excited about that. Yes, I want it all, Lord, anything you have for me. But here's the thing I know about our faith. Man, if we have a wrong view of ourselves, even if we have a right view of God, if we have a wrong view of ourselves, that faith just kind of hits a ceiling. Like, if I see God as you are good, oh, and I say, Derek is trash. God, you're good, but man, I'm trash. Guess what? I'm not gonna come to him as a son, I'm gonna come to him as an orphan. And sons and orphans ask very different questions. Sons and orphans ask very different things. Sons and orphans interact with their father very, very, very differently. And so how I see myself has a direct impact, not only how I am in the world, how I am as a citizen, as a father, as a son, but how I view myself has a direct correlation to our interaction with God. This is not a minor thing. And we're in the Bible Belt, and I love it. Like, we're belt buckle and Bible Belt. It's great, right? But a lot of times in church, Lord, forgive us. We have really made our goal to make people feel really bad about who they are. And I'm trying to pick my words wisely here. I'm not downplaying sin, so don't even go there. But listen, when people interacted with Jesus, they were filled with hope and they had a next step. They didn't just say, oh, woe is me, I'm trash. I just gotta keep my head down and don't make eye contact with anybody. And so I think God is saying, listen, you gotta have a right view of yourself, because this is what I know about my own life. As I interact with different people and as I see even in the scriptures, is that we rarely rise above our internal monologue. Once in a while, there can be a flyer. Like, I have this experience, and I'm like, wow, that's good. But what conversations you have right here, you're barely going to rise above those conversations. The way you value yourself, you're rarely going to rise above that. And this phrase came to mind is, does your self-talk harmonize with heaven? Does the conversation, does the way that you talk about yourself when nobody else can hear because it's in your head, is that in harmony with what heaven would say about you? We should ask this question. Because it's a ceiling, it's a lid. It's a lid in our life, and it's even a lid in our experience with God. It's not a minor thing. How we view ourselves. And the scriptures make this really clear all over the place. I mean, we can go all over the place, but the place I wanna look at and kind of set up the rest of the message here is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. He's talking about the enemy. He's talking about Satan. And he's talking about giving the Corinthians, the church of Corinth, a heads up. There's a bunch of believers, and he's giving them a heads up on wisdom and how do you navigate some things. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, pick it up in verse 10, he says, but one whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, I did so for your sake in the presence of Christ. So obviously he's dealing with some unforgiveness. He's dealing with the impact of when I withhold forgiveness, when I'm bitter, when I'm jealous at somebody in the community. How many of you know that's a bad thing? It leads to all kinds of horrible things for you, not just for the other person, for you. And so he's referencing that, and then he says, so that no advantage could be taken to us by Satan, of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. And that last line, it gets me. It says, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. Can I just be honest? I think most of the Western church is ignorant of the schemes of the enemy. You say, how do I know that? Because we're literally eating from his hand on so many things. We're angry at one another. We're hating one another. We're separating. We buy into the political junk. We buy into the racial, all the crazy. We buy into all the social issues. We just literally are like walking right into it because we're ignorant of his schemes. And here's what a scheme is. A scheme literally is a crafty or deceptive plan with a specific purpose. And don't kid yourself. The enemy has a scheme against you and me. He has a scheme against the people of God. He has a scheme against every nation on the earth. He has a crafty and deceptive plan with a specific purpose. And that purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy you. It's to keep you from walking into, and us as a community, to walking into all that God has for us. That's his purpose. And so he has these schemes, these plans that are very intentional to derail us, to get us off of just a little bit. If he's like, man, I could just get you off of 1 degree and 20 years down the road, you're pursuing this thing and the Lord said, I got this for you. He's like, I win. And so he's got these schemes. And so today, here's what I'm doing. I'm just gonna pull back the curtain so we are not ignorant anymore. Does anybody else want that? Like, so here it is real quick, four areas that are real straightforward where the enemy is scheming against you right now, your family right now, our nation right now, the world right now. Number one thing, we talked about it last week, scheming the enemy, the father of lies, is to get us to believe falsely about God. If he could just sow a little bit of false into how we view God, then he's like, okay, I got him. And so right now, in this room, man, people are navigating lots of things. And the battle is not that you're navigating something. The battle is, what do you believe in that situation about God? Like, bad things happen. We know that. Terrible things happen. Jesus said, listen, things are going to happen. Trouble is going to happen. But take heart. I've overcome the world. So listen, guys, we're going to experience loss. We're going to experience defeat. We're going to have people let us down, even though God never does. People let us down. Situations can let us down. Things happen. And the battle is not so much what happened in that situation, but what do we take? What do we actually come into agreement with when that thing happens? That's what the battle is. What do we believe about God? The second one is what we're talking about today. It's a false belief about ourselves. And we are so ignorant of this. And actually, he's used the pulpit to actually, I think, propagate this scheme. He's actually worked through men and women on a pulpit that say they're proclaiming God, and yet they're actually siding with the enemy. Do you know that happens sometimes? That's why we have to test the spirit behind everything. You should test my words. Oh my goodness. The false belief about ourselves. So these two things are really the top two things that the enemy has a scheme against you. Get them to believe something wrongly about God. Get them to believe something wrong about them. And let me take it from there. Oh my goodness. And we know this because this is the very few first pages of the Bible. Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve walking with God, perfect communion, abiding with him, knowing his voice, listening to him, turning an ear, walking, strolling, enjoying his presence. And then Eve is over there and Satan comes and says, man, did God really say that? And you know what, Eve? What's gonna happen actually, if you eat of this thing, God knows you'll become like him. And in that moment, guess what? The scheme of the enemy is just laid bare, and we're so ignorant, but it's all throughout this book. He says, listen, if you would just eat of this, God knows you'll become. What is the scheme there? Number one, this is what Satan is doing to her, is he's having her believe that God's not good. He's holding back on you. First one, false belief about God. Hey, Eve, you know what? God's actually holding some goodness. He may be good, but he's not good to you. Anybody believe that before, like me? He does good. Good. God is good. I can sing it on Sundays, but man, I don't think he's good to me. And so this little voice is there. Okay. Yeah. God is holding back on you, Eve. He has good things, but he doesn't want you to have them. That's the first lie. Second lie is, if you eat it, you'll become like God. Ooh. Here's the problem. Genesis chapter 1 says Eve was already made in the image and likeness of God. She already had what she wanted. And yet she believed that she wasn't enough. I know every single person's heard that lie before. You're not enough. You gotta do more. You gotta earn it. God's not gonna approve of you. You gotta do more. So what do we see? Lie about God, lie about herself. Let's not be ignorant. Let's recognize it. This is the enemy. The third way that he comes at us with his schemes is that he has us believe a false thing about somebody else. Oh my goodness. This is where I wish I could just get on TV across all the world and say, we are a united nation, United States of America. Other people are not your enemy. Somebody just needs to hear that today. The Lord says we do not fight against flesh and blood, but what? Against rulers, against kingdoms of darkness, all these things that are actually scheming to destroy our view of God, our view of self, and view of others. Oh my goodness, and it's so rampant. Just look on social media. Look on the comments section of anything. Don't actually. I'd rather you stay off of social media, but... I know most people, right? So our propensity is to like make people enemies, to demonize, to destroy, to gossip, to slander, to malice, and the scheme of the enemy to keep you from experiencing all that God has for you. And the fourth way is to sow a false belief about the world or situation. God, self, others, creation, and the situation we find ourselves in. So now you can't say you're not ignorant. Now you can say, I don't want to do it. Deal with that. That's fine. That's you. But listen, you're not ignorant today. And here's why I say that. Because all of these things, these are true. But listen, God doesn't create victims. This is true. And you're like, wow, that's kind of a bleak story. But God does not want you to walk with a victim mentality. And so we can see all this. We can say it. And we're like, oh, well, okay, we'll just go on. Maybe I'll just get to retirement and, you know, go down to Florida. Maybe I'll pay my house off and I'll just kind of float. No. God never wants you to do that. That's not his plan for you. And so here's what I want you to see is that the scriptures overwhelmingly point to the power of our mind and, this is important, and our authority to direct our thoughts. Listen, right now, I think one of the worst things that Christians are doing in America is we are abdicating our authority. We have given up. And I want you to hear this. Your mind is powerful. Everybody say, my mind is powerful. The scriptures, time and time again, our mind is powerful. Here's what you need to know, though. It's not just an engine that's going where it wants. You and I have authority over what we think. You and I have authority of what sits in our mind. This is what Paul says to the Corinthians again. I love this talk he's given to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. What does that mean? That means when a lie about God comes, we knock it down. When a lie comes at me, Derek, you're trash. That's a lie that does not come into agreement with the word of God. And therefore, I'm going to knock it down. How am I going to do that? I'm going to take every thought captive to obey Christ. Being ready to punish every disobedience. And your obedience is complete. Take every thought captive to obey Christ. You see, we're called to reject lies and to embrace truth. This is the authority that you and I have. This is the amazing gift that we have as human beings, that we have the ability to make decisions. Just make this clear. We don't necessarily get to choose the thoughts that come into our mind, okay? Just make that clear. Thoughts come in all over. Sometimes voices from other people, they come in. So we can't decide the thoughts that enter, but you and I have the authority and the ability to decide what stays. And so the picture I always give, and when I'm counseling people and that are dealing with thought life, whatnot, I have them just take a mental moment and to picture a flowing river. And I say, that's your thought life. And there's lots of thoughts that are rolling down that river, floating down. Just think about you. You know, your thoughts are just on an inner tube, just hanging out. Got a little cooler behind it. Just some of them are like, just thoughts going. And not every thought is meant for you to pull out of the river and keep. Okay? Listen, you have the authority to say, that thought, I'm not going to keep that thought. And I'm going to replace it with truth. And you say, well, what if that thought comes back? Guess what you can do again? I'm not going to come in agreement with that thought. I'm going to agree with this thought. You and I have the authority to come into agreement with what's true and to reject what is false. And this is really what Romans chapter 12, 2 says. I'm tying these all together, taking a lot of scriptures today and pulling them all together so we can see clearly. It says, do not be conformed to this world. Don't just buy into the narrative that the news is telling you. Don't just go after what everybody else is after, the empire thinking, the political system. Don't do that. He says, but instead, be transformed by the renewal of your what? Mind. It's powerful. By the renewal of your mind, how are you going to do that? By testing, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So once again, I think some different weird teaching is that when I'm with God and when I have the Holy Spirit, that somehow I'm just going to start making better decisions. It's not how it works. No. The Spirit is in our life and he's inviting to partner with him, and he's given us the empowerment for us to make choices and decisions. How do we see a renewed mind? By the power of the Spirit working in us, by testing that we may know what is of God and what's not of God. And many of us, we never do that. Social media, it must be true. Facebook, it was on Facebook. It was on Twitter or whatever the X, I don't know what it is now, it is whatever it is. I read it on the news. We renew our mind by testing, by asking questions. Is this really of the Lord? Does this sound like God? And as we do that, we may discern what is the will of God. And so here's a real quick and easy, simple thing that I do. It's super easy. Here's a thought filter that I think all of us could do today. All of us could apply this week. Would Jesus amen this thought that I'm embracing? Like, think about that. Like I so appreciate the amens down here. It kind of gets me, yeah, it's fun, right? Would Jesus, when you're like, Jesus, this is the thought that I have about you, would Jesus like, amen, let's go? Or would he be like, Jesus, this is how I feel about myself today. Would he be like, wow, that is amazing, high five, let's go, amen to that thought, Derek? Or would he be like, nope, I never said that. I have this thought about somebody else. Jesus, man, this is how I'm feeling about that person. And I say, Jesus, would you amen that? And he's like, I wouldn't even say okay to that, right? Let alone amen that. Like, so fun, but I want you to think about this. When you're having a thought and you're like, I should say, would Jesus amen this? Would he be all in for this? And if not, guess what you do? Get away. No more. I'm releasing that thought. It's not of the Lord. It's not serving me. It's not drawing me to him. Release it. Release it. And so I want to challenge you this week, literally start doing it even today. Would Jesus amen this thought that I'm embracing? In order to really know the answer to that, then I think we have to be a people that are rooted in the scriptures. It's one of the reasons why we want our community to not be Bible illiterate. Like we love the scriptures here. We hold them up as our guide, as our plumb line. And it's not just to say I read the Bible today or I've got 25 days in a row on my Bible app. That's not the purpose. The purpose is so that we know truth. See, what Jesus said in John 8, he said, if you abide in my word, then you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. If you abide in my word, if you know my word, if you know the truth, then as you know the truth and you hold it up and say, would Jesus amen this? That's my prayer phrase. Would Jesus say amen to this? And I would know the truth. And when I do, I'm set free. And so here's a couple simple ways that are prevalent, the way the enemy speaks. So here's what the liar's voice sounds like. And I know all of us in this room, you have heard these whispered in your ear. You are not enough. You are a failure. You are a fake. You are unseen. You are worthless. You're a waste of space. You are hopeless. You are unlovable. You are a disgrace. And this is just a couple of the ways that the enemy will whisper in our ear to scheme, to kill, steal, and destroy. And the way it works is like, let's say for instance, you're feeling worthless. I'm worthless. Then you'll start living like you're worthless and you'll play really small. Never take a risk, never step up when you feel like you're supposed to. Or on the other extreme, if you listen to that voice and you come into agreement with it, you'll live your whole life trying to prove that you have worth. And you'll be burnt out and get tired and exhausted and feel like you're never enough. What voice are you listening to? The voice of the enemy says these things. We don't want to be ignorant of them, but here's the voice of a good father, a perfect father. Some of the things that he says when we ask him, you are a child of God. You are chosen. You are set free. You are beloved. You are a new creation. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing. You are more than a conqueror. You are accepted and loved. You are one with God. You are valuable. You are forgiven. Whew. You see, even the two lists as I read them, just even how you felt. And what we think about God is likely the most important thing, but what we believe that God thinks about us, I think is right behind it. What voice are you listening to? What voice are you coming into agreement with? What thoughts are you allowing to sit there that may not be aligned with the Lord? And that's my question today as we close up here. Two things. Is what thoughts are you having right now about yourself that are keeping you from being and doing all that God has made you to be and do? I want you to think about that. That's not just a flippant answer. Like, We always say that a message here at CF is meant to end with a comma. It's not a period, it's done, you're done. Like, it's meant to have a continuing conversation with the Lord. So here's the conversation with the Lord today and this week is, God, is there any thoughts that I'm having about myself that are keeping me from being and doing everything that I know you've made me to be and do? It's a great conversation with the Lord, great quiet time with the Lord. And then the second question that I love to ask people when I'm leading a group or making introductions, I ask people this question is, how would Jesus introduce you to a stranger? So think about that this week. Like if Jesus was gonna bring you up on stage and he was gonna say, hey, this is Derek, how would he introduce you? And as you think about that, just make sure that that introduction aligns with the beautiful scriptures that we have about what God thinks, what God says. Because what we think about ourselves, man, it matters greatly to God. And to know what he thinks about us, that's freedom. That's freedom. So I wanna pray for us right now. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you are good in all circumstances. That you work good in all circumstances. And I thank you for this incredible truth, this thing that we call the Bible, that is filled with so much revelation about who you are and what you think. Lord, we don't want to be ignorant of the enemy's schemes. And today, Lord, I pray that this spotlight that we've shown on the lies that are so easily believed that we just go along with, Lord, that you would help us to see them and to break them and to literally confess them to you, to tell you the truth. This is what I believe. This is what I've been thinking, Lord. And then have the humility and the wisdom to say, God, what do you think about this person? What do you think about this situation? What do you think about politics and government and economies and business and education? Lord, what do you think? We want to be a people, Lord, that seek your perspective, that seek your view. Because they are higher than ours. Your view, your perspective, your ways, your thoughts are higher. We want them about all things. And today, Lord, we want them about ourselves. So Lord, would you continue to teach us your ways? Draw us higher, Lord. Amen.
The prayer team is going to come forward and be up front. And we've talked about a lot of things today. And so the invitation for you that's here is maybe, you know, you're struggling to get your mindset in this place that we're talking about. It's hard for me to see situations in a way that I can be thankful. It's hard for me to think good things and speak them about myself. I want that, but it's difficult. So if that's you, if that's something you really, really want, you just want someone to pray with you, come forward, let the prayer team pray with you today. Have a wonderful Sunday afternoon and a great week. We love you and we'll see you again next Sunday.